Go to church, Brother Horn. Let's all take a minute and stand, and while everyone's coming in, reach around, shake hands with your neighbor. We're going to sing, "Thank God I'm Free, Brothers." Certainly miss Brother Louie. He's still sick. He called me yesterday, and so we want to remember him in prayer. Let's sing together an old song as we begin the service, "Thank God I'm Free." Aren't you glad for the freedom you have in Him? Amen. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, in sin I sank low, and heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out to His saving power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Saved, saved by His wonderful grace. Found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that's taken his flight. Like a blind man that His sight, like a poor wretched beggar, found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out His holy name. This world of sin, washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the God, I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out could bring me out and show me the way. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. You can be seated for a little while and have Brother Jimmy Babb to come again and read our prayer requests this evening. Like I said, we want to remember Brother Louie, and I know there's many others that's sick.
Before we read the prayer request, I'll make a couple of announcements. Brother Wes Willis asked us to remember. Okay, no, that's another one here. This, Brother Wes, if your name is on the list to ride the bus to camp and you are not going, please let Brother Wes know as soon as possible. So that's very important as far as signing seats. So please see Brother Wes if you are on the list and are not going. So please check with him. Sister Rachel Ward asked for all the sisters to meet in the fellowship hall after church for a short meeting concerning the new church cookbook. So remember that right after service tonight. All the ladies meet over in the fellowship hall. Had a testimony here. Brother Stuart Green had a pet that was having trouble in walking and said he offered prayer for it and it was perfectly well the next day, and he just wants to thank God. And small things like that mean a lot to God too. So we're grateful for that. Also, we'd like to praise the Lord for taking care of Todd during his operation. That's Brother Todd Robbins. He's getting better day by day. Turned in by Brother Greg and Sister Shirley. So we're grateful for Todd's success in his surgery. Brother Robert Dickerson is in serious condition in the Johnson City Medical Center. I think many of you know Brother Robert, had come here for many, many years. He's suffering from cancer. So let's remember Brother Robert during this time. Another request for Brother Robert, so continue to remember him. Brother Stuart Green also turns in a request that he has a friend by the name of Denny Long who lost his wife several months ago and I guess is still having a real struggle with that. So let's remember this man in prayer. Sister Rachel Hamblin says that our neighbor, a Mrs. Campbell, asked for prayer for her husband, Wade. He has been diagnosed with cancer and will be having surgery Wednesday to have a kidney removed. So let's remember this neighbor of Brother George and Sister Rachel. Brother Baker is home sick tonight with leg pain. He wants the church to pray for him. Also pray for Sister Sarah Ellis, who is suffering with flu-like symptoms, not able to be in church. Sister Jan Winters is suffering with her legs and feet, both very swollen. So let's remember Sister Jan in prayer tonight. Brother Amos says to please remember Sister Lisa Cutts for continued healing and strength. I think she's doing better, and we're grateful for that. So continue to remember Sister Lisa. Brother Alway Robertson from South Africa requests prayer for a sister. Her name is Krista Alchin. Cancer has spread to her brain, and the doctor gives her a few weeks to live without radiation. She is still strong in faith and prefers not to take radiation. She requests prayer that she will not lose her memory so that she still can be strengthened by the Word and be able to commune with her Lord. Please pray her family, remember her family in prayer, especially her daughter Ruth. So let's remember this sister in South Africa. Sister Lana Jones, please pray for Terza Roncalli. She has had to be taken to the ER for a stomach problem. So let's remember this young child tonight. If you'd all just stand with me, please. Brother Terry, would you come and lead us, Lord, in prayer?
Okay, brother. It's so good to be back in church. I believe that with all of my heart. We have such a great privilege. We don't know how long we'll have this opportunity to still come and worship in freedom according to the dictates of our heart. One day they'll perhaps close the door, but I'm so glad we still have opportunity to come to church. Still have that desire. Many are getting tired. They're tired of fighting. But I believe I'll just go on anyhow. That's the attitude the bride's going to have. I believe I'll just go on anyhow. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I count it the greatest privilege to be back in the house of God. That's what we live for. That's what I live for. Day by day, throughout the week, the highlight of my week is to be in church. Lord, is to be with you. As I love to be with my lovely wife that I've been with now almost 40 years, my best friend. Lord, it's that first love relationship that we have such a such a closeness, Lord. When I fell in love with you, I didn't always love you. I had to learn to love you, but you always loved me. And I'm so thankful you loved me first so that I could learn to love you. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that I have loved you and more and more and more. We love you tonight. We're happy to be in the house of God. We invite your presence. We ask that you take the uppermost seat. May you speak to our hearts. Deal with our hearts. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that's outside the ark of safety, would you deal with their hearts, Lord? I pray that those that are sick, we've seen the requests, heard them read rather, and I pray that you'll touch each one, especially the sister down in South Africa, up in age, cancer. She doesn't want to lose her memory so that she can still have communication with you and be molded and led by the Spirit of God and trained by the Word of God. Touch her, Lord, I pray. Each one that I hold in my hand, you know the needs of each one. Some serious, some not so serious. Well, Lord, you're concerned about even the sparrows. You know how each one, when each one falls, and how much more you're concerned about our lives. Lord, there's much trouble in the land. Perhaps this year might even see the consummation of time as we would know it. We might see the rapture this year. It very well could be. But certainly there's much tremor and turmoil just around the corner in this year of 2013. 13, United States, woman's number. United States is 13. All these things, Lord, the Pope, the lightning, different things. Oh, God, what's going to happen this year? But, Lord, I believe the bride is ready. I believe she's waiting for that revelation of the rapture. We're going up just as sure as I'm standing. We're going up. We thank you for that revelation. We thank you for the Word of God. Anoint our pastor to speak tonight. Give him thus saith the Lord. Lord, let it be ever present water from the rock. Speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, let there be a man here can turn on the lights and give us, Lord, the light, illumination of the Word that we might know how to better live and to be prepared for that great hour. Every request that's been read, may you touch them, heal them, bring them, Lord, to that right, respectful place that you'd have them to be, full stage of maturity. We ask these things, Lord. We love you so much tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. I'd like to sing together a song this evening. By and by, when the morning comes. The deacon brothers would come and receive the offering. Amen. By and by, when the morning comes. Brother Larry, I think is that F? We'll try it now. Okay. Amen. We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, oh, we will tell the story how we overcome. Oh, we'll understand it better by and by. We're often destitute of the things that life demands. One of food and one of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. But we're trusting in the Lord and according to His Word. We will understand it better by and by. Understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, oh, we will tell the story how we overcome, oh, we'll understand it better by and by. Temptations, pit and snares often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed for many a thoughtless word or deed. Wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God God have gathered home, oh, we will tell our story, how we overcome, oh, we'll understand it better by and by.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We've got a couple of song specials this evening. Brother Fred Green, if you'd come. He's got a song for us and sing for us. And then Brother Chuck Dixon has a song for us also. Amen.
When my life's when my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when that bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer over on the other side, for His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know, I shall know Him by the prints of the nails in His hand. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face, and the luster of His kindly beaming eye. How my full heart shall praise Him for the mercy, love and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. Sing it with me. Oh, I shall know him. I shall know him, and redeemed by his side, I'm gonna stand. Oh, I shall know him. I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come. And our parting down at the river, I recall. In that sweet song of ages, I shall mingle with delight. But I long to see the Lord Jesus first of all. Sing it again. I shall know him. I shall know him, and redeemed by his side, I shall stand. Oh, I shall know him. I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. Through the gates to the city, in a robe of spotless white, he's gonna lead me where no teardrops ever fall. In that glad song of ages, I shall mingle with delight. But I long to see the Lord Jesus first of all. Sing it with me. I shall know.
Mechanically inclined. I wasn't there by the shores of Galilee. when Jesus touched those blinded eyes and made them see. And though I did not see the empty tomb that day, I still believe, for I know what Jesus did for me. And I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe there is healing in the touch of His hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me, and I know what Jesus did for me. Now I have seen the lowest sin, sick soul, have life anew, be made pure and whole. And I have felt it loose the chains of sin and set my spirit free. And I know what Jesus did for me. And I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe there is healing in the touch of His hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me, and I know what Jesus did for me. Yes, the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me, and I know what Jesus did for me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Chuck. Let's stand together as we change the order of the service this evening. Let's sing a chorus, "Isn't He Wonderful," as Brother Donnie comes out. Try G.
Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? My eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Oh, isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Here's a word recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus our Lord
wonderful. Everybody, let's sing it now. Oh, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus our Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in His Word. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it again. Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in His Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many can say He's been wonderful to you? Amen. Praise be to God. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to the book of Psalms, chapter 139. We'd like to read verse 23. Psalms 139, verse 23. I want to speak to you tonight on our thought life. Our thought life. Listen very carefully, because there is so much involved in these two verses. If every person in this building tonight, and every person that will hear this service, every person that's streaming, no matter where you are, in different parts of the world, if every one of us could say this prayer, as David prayed it so many, many years ago, and believe it, and allow God the liberality to be able to perform this in our life, it would be absolutely amazing what God could do for us. Now listen at His words. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Now, not just look at what I do on the outside and what people see, but look at my heart, try my heart, and then go even deeper. I want you to even know my thoughts. Now notice the reason why, verse 24. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's read it again now. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Many of us have sung the song. Many of you have sung it since you were children in church. Search me, O God, and know my heart. This is where it comes from. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. How could that be associated with thoughts? Why would searching your heart and looking at your thoughts and then tying that to a wicked way? See if there be any wicked way in me. Now, not something exterior, but something on the inside. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. How many would like to be remembered in prayer? Just raise your hand, make a request known to God. Heavenly Father, we so love You tonight. Father, we're so grateful that we're serving that kind of a God tonight. That we can come to You, Lord, on the same basis as David of old and say, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Look at my thoughts. See what they are, where they come from. And help me to see the power that lays in them, Lord. Then look at us, Father, and see if there's any wicked way in us. And show it to us, Father. We love You, Lord. We'll make it right. If there's anything about us that displeases You, we'll make it right, Lord God. We want our life to please You, Father. May you take your word tonight, dear God, and speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. To us, the words that were used here might seem a little bit difficult for us to really comprehend it in the way that the author penned it so many years ago. Because of the way that he looked at things versus the way that we do in a Western civilization, David was actually asking God to test him and try him as they would metal. Notice how he says this, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me. So David wants God to try him as they would have tried or tempered metal in those days through the purging of the fire, through the tempering and bringing it to a certain temperature to be able to bring anything out of it that would be an impurity, because it would certainly weaken the purpose of what the metal was going to be used for. Then he goes into this next part. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts. Now, David wants God to know his thoughts. Even the word that's used here is the same Hebrew word that's used in Psalms 94:19, which is the same word for anxiety. So David wants his anxious thoughts to be perceived by God, and anything in his thoughts that God would view as being offensive, then he wants God to help him to be able to purge himself from them thoughts. So he wants God to try him as metal would be tried, to temper him in a way that he would be used for God's purpose. And he wants God to be able to go down inside of his heart, into his mind, to look at the thoughts that David thinks about and see if there's anything in David's thought pattern, no doubt there was, that would make him anxious. Which would cause pain. Things in David's thought pattern or in his thinking that would cause himself or cause others pain. Now, I want you to think of the understanding that this man had. Now, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts to see if there's anything in me that would be a way of causing pain to myself and causing pain to others. Now, I want to ask you, don't raise your hand, but I just want to ask you, do you contemplate yourself in this same way? In the way you live and what you do and the way you talk and even your liberality that you have in Christ, say you're more mature than others would be and you would be allowed to do certain things and maybe go certain places into certain events that would not bother you as a Christian. But yet if other folks saw you doing that or heard of you doing this or that, yet it would weaken them, and you are so sensitive to what God would want you to be that you're not only conscious of you doing wrong, but your conscience of other people perceiving what you would do, that it would be wrong to them and offend them. Now you see, when we get to thinking in this way, we're moving beyond where most people in Christianity live. Most people, when they come to the Lord and they begin to think about right and wrong, they think about themselves, their wife, their children, maybe people they go to church with. But to live outside of that, you know, they really don't think in that way. But you know what? God calls us to think outside that box of Christianity, to where that we, oh, you're such crazy, brother. No, it's not. It's the very same thing that Paul was talking about when he was talking about eating meat. That if for me to eat meat would offend my brother. Now, is eating meat wrong? No. But you have to remember, coming out in that day, that it was emerging out of the law unto grace. So there were people that was still thought it was wrong to eat pork. There was people thought it was wrong to eat lobster, to eat clams, to eat certain shellfish, to eat certain things, because all of their life, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, they'd heard it from their fathers, their grandfathers, their great-grandfathers on back. You could not do this. So here, under the dispensation of grace, now they were able to do it. And other people were struggling, saying, oh my, how can they do this? And you can imagine that it seemed that there was so much that was let go of at one time. so much that they were liberated from, but to some it was becoming a stumbling block. So here David, even under the dispensation of law, he saw that there was a way that he could bring pain and that that would originate from his thoughts. Now, of course, we know that David did not have the Holy Ghost. He certainly didn't have the understanding of what God's given us in this day. But yet he knew that what passes through the mind has the ability to produce life or produce death. What passes through the mind has the ability to produce self-inflicted things, or it has the ability to produce inflictions upon others, because those thoughts will become material. If we think about them long enough and often enough, our thoughts actually create chemicals in our bodies. As a matter of fact, within 20 seconds after you think any particular thought, and those thoughts compound and add one to another to another, your body within 20 seconds changes. It's either from alkalinity or acidic, just by thoughts. Not by eating oranges, not by eating red meat, not by eating pork. And you're so concerned about whether you're alkaline or acidic. Health people are, they're, you know, really concerned because acidic is supposed to be so harmful to you. And yet you're concerned about food, but it takes food much, much longer to make you acidic than it does your thoughts. Now you think that this man wanted God to try his walk, to try the way he was, but to peer even deeper. Now think about how powerful that this is. How many of us, now this is the thought of us that is the deepest, intimate part of who we really, really are. Now, we can be able to learn to control our behavior around certain people and around church people. And we can be able to do certain things, and under a controlled behavior, we can have a testimony among the people of God. But yet here we're looking at a realm that is the deepest, most intimate part of really who we are, and that is our thought life. Now, you can live with a man, and that man, your wife or your husband, vice versa. You can live with your children. They can learn how in your home certain things to do, certain ways to behave. And you have no idea, that kid, what he's actually doing online. You have no idea what they do at school. You have no idea what your daughter, the way she's dressing, the way she's acting. But yet, whenever you come down to the thought part, that's really who we all are in this building tonight. Now, whenever David looked at this, you imagine that he wanted God to search what occupied his imagination, what occupied his memory, what occupied the conscience. So he's dealing with his thought life before God, that he wanted God to be able to go into the thought life and to be able to affect him in such a way that he would minimize the pain that he himself would bear, and also minimize the amount of pain he would cause on the people of God. Now there again, let me ask you, how many of us think this way? Hello? Knock, knock. Anybody home? How many of us think this way? That we want to minimize the amount of pain that we have, but we not only want to do that, we want to minimize the amount of pain that we would cause other people in this life. Now, it will both stem from not just what you believe. Oh, I believe the message. I believe thousands of people say that. And they're the biggest troublemakers you ever dealt with in your life, because they do not embrace this. Your friend, if we do not embrace this, we're not catching the spirit this message was brought in. Brother Branham loved humanity. Brother Branham didn't just love message people. Brother Branham didn't just pray for message people. He prayed for denominations. He prayed for Sikhs and Jains and Buddhists. But now the spirit of organization is so got around the message, we do good to pray for other message people outside of our own church. Much less Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, oh, they're a bunch of devils. No, many of them are not a bunch of devils. Many of them are Christians. And they will be there that day because, not because they believe God sent a prophet, but because they have accepted Jesus Christ as the atonement of their sin. Now, they may not understand that new birth quite like you and I do, but God will judge them for what he allows them to see, not what you see. We better keep our own steps clear, not worry so much about them. Well, praise the Lord. Now think, if God by his ability then could be able to quicken David. No doubt David was a man of great talk. Now he was a prophet in the sense that he was able to receive the word. He wasn't a prophet like Samuel, Jeremiah, Zephaniah, or one of those. But yet he was a man that received inspiration. No doubt a man whose thoughts was out there in the realm of God to where most people just simply didn't understand it. And God moved with on him in a way, and they would come in the forms of psalms and songs and things like that. But yet his heart was very sensitive toward the Lord. So he was a man that had a very great thought life. And that thought life reflected a lot of who David was. And I think many times as Christians, as believers, that we're, especially in the last couple of months since we've been going through some of these things, that we're realizing our thoughts has much more value and much more weight on who we are and what we're going to become than what we ever gave credit to. It certainly has for me. Now, let me say this. I have heard more testimonies. I have heard more results and more things out of this series, no longer than I preached it, than anything I have ever preached. And I think, my goodness, that is absolutely amazing to me. Because I ain't even on part 287 yet. This ain't the longest series I've ever preached, and yet from all over the world I'm getting emails, and you think, you know what? It must be time, it must be timely, it must be what we have need of. I believe it's changing us. I said, I believe it's changing us. Now, many of you may not have a more Cadillacs than what you had before started. You may live in the same house. You still may be struggling with your bills. And don't just get in your mind it's going to be all the material things. But if it makes you a happier Christian, it'll be worth all the studying I've done. If it makes you a better wife, a better husband, a happier person, a happier worshiper in the house of God, it'll be worth all the labor, will it not? Now, let's look at it from the medical side, the human side. Your mind. Now watch, these things are so amazing to me. Current trends in neuroscience offer evidence that we can consciously improve our health and well-being by simply changing our thoughts. Thoughts create chemicals. Thoughts create chemicals that pour into the rivers and streams coursing through our body. Within 20 seconds, the chemical composition of the body is altered by a thought. Now think of how powerful this is. And you stay away from red meat, you stay away from this because of the harm it's going to do your body. I'm not telling you not to watch what you eat, but I'm wondering, we focus so much on things like that, and we've taken supplements, and we've taken herbs, and we've taken vitamins, and we do all kinds of things for our health. And right here's the biggest enemy we got for our health, our mind. Our brain. And somehow we think, well, we're bright, it don't affect us, but you're still a human being though. Now watch this. So within 20 seconds, your body can be altered by a thought, having an acid or alkaline effect on your body. As we persevere on negative thoughts, our nervous system sends chemicals to the muscles. Our physical body contracts and thinking becomes foggy. Now think, just by thinking on negative thoughts, just by continuously persevering on negative thoughts, those thoughts cause the brain to release these things inside your body, and your muscles will contract and you become foggy and you're sinking. And here I've been blaming that on the devil. You know what, Brother Harold? I found out a lot of this stuff that's going on with me. It ain't been the devil after all. It was this old devil. It was this old boy right here that was causing a lot of my problems. You might as well say amen. I'm going to preach. Praise the Lord. Now, listen to some of these doctors, some of their comments. Dr. Joseph Dispenza in Physics, the Brain, and Your Reality says, the thinking brain, the neocortex, is the seed of our free will and allows us to have choice and opinion. The one thing I noticed about people who had changes in health had changed their thinking. Now notice, they had changes in their health, they had changed their thinking. If they changed their thinking, was the effect in the brain sending a new signal to their body? The answer is yes. Our thoughts have a direct connection to our direct level of health. Uh-oh, you hearing this? Then if I can think more positive in the natural sense, it creates chemicals to go to my body, what will rapture thoughts do? What will body change and thoughts do? Now this is just men looking at it from a natural perspective without the power of a Malachi 4 message in the end time. But just looking at what the natural body, God has made each of us a creator. And our thoughts that pass through our mind have the ability to create. And we're waiting on God to do it, and He's waiting on us to do it. Notice our thoughts have a direct connection to our direct level of health. Thoughts make a chemical. And if you have happy thoughts, then you're producing chemicals that make you feel happy. Forget the cigarettes. Forget Jack Daniels, Mary, Lucy Daniels, all the rest of the Daniels family. Forget old Kentucky. Forget bourbon. Forget beer. Forget meth. Forget all the rest of that. I've got everything I need within me. Then I don't need no uppers. I don't need no downers. I don't need no fix. I need to release what's on the inside of me. Can't you see what these things do? Can't you see why people smoke marijuana while they drink alcohol? It affects the chemistry in their body. It changes. They feel down. They feel gloomy. They feel sad. And they get mess, or they get this and that and the other. And it changes. Friend, we've already got that in us to change us. But I warn you, it's addictive, man. You get drunk on the Holy Ghost, man, you'll be a sot for the rest of your life. Glory. Notice this. Wow. If you have happy thoughts and you're producing chemicals that make you feel happy. If you have negative thoughts, angry thoughts, or insecure thoughts, those thoughts make chemicals. So no matter how much you try to get things on the outside to make you happy, can't you see why we're living in an age of things and people are less happy than they've ever been? Many of you have got more things than you've ever had, and you're less happy than when you was a little boy running around as poor as Job's turkey, or a young married couple that didn't have hardly nothing, and you was as happy as you could be. And now you've got more of this and more of that, and you're less happy. Why? Because you're looking for something out here to make you happy. Wow. Watch this. Those thoughts make chemicals to make you feel how you're thinking. So those thoughts make chemicals, and those chemicals make you feel how you're thinking. You ever think yourself down? You ever think yourself sick? Ever think yourself weary? Have you? Don't sit there and look at me like you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever thought yourself happy? Well, glory, y'all think I'm nuts, don't you? Have you ever thought yourself delivered? Have you ever thought yourself free? Well, Brother Donnie, I ain't done that as much. Oh, you're out of balance then. Now the proper ratio is to be 2 to 1. 2 positive thoughts, 1 negative. That's a balanced individual. I'll let you think on that. Now watch, there's sound evidence that our thoughts do matter. We always replace those old patterns with the greater ideal of ourselves. If rehearsed mentally, we will grow new circuits in the brain. My nephew and many probably wondered about how he's doing. They said he'd never live. Probably never make it through the next day. He's setting up. They've got a helmet made for him. They was going to do therapy for him. But he's so far advanced, I don't think he's going to need it. With a bullet in his head. Well, now what about those of you that ain't got one? You ain't got a bullet in your head. You ain't got pieces of skull in your head where the bullet hit the skull and shattered it. If a person can do that by supernatural, the doctor told him that day, he said, son, God must have a work for you to do because he spared your life. I love it when God makes doctors testify. Oh, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Now you imagine how that they've learned in the last how many ever years that therapy, isn't it amazing how many more people they have to for therapy? People that have a heart attack, they send them for therapy. People have a stroke, they send them for therapy. They have this and that and the other, they send them for therapy. I've just realized God's had me to be a therapist for years. I've been giving you folks spiritual therapy. Neither you or I realize what was going on. It's divine therapy by the word. Hallelujah. To bring us back. To rewire us. You see, years ago was whenever a person had a stroke and certain parts of their brain died. That was it. But somebody found out they could retrain the brain. And instead of this certain part which was now damaged to control this side, then move over in this side and do it over and over again. And actually the brain learned. The brain was taught that it could kick in and take care of that. Well, praise the Lord. If rehearsed mentally, we will grow new circuits in the brain. The platform in which we stand on to execute a new level of self. That's what I'm working on, a new level of self. It's the real me. Kathy Chapman, PhD, LCSW. I'm not sure what all that means, but... Anyway, writes in strengthening the immune system. Now listen to this. If you are someone who thinks sad, angry, or negative thoughts most of the day, you are weakening your immune system. Now tell me, what good does it do to take vitamin C when vitamin M is all out of sort? Man, some of you will gargle, you'll take Listerine, you'll take vitamin C, A, D, Y, Z, O, Z, Y, everything in the world, and flu season, cold season to boost your immune system, and your most damaging part is right up here. Can you imagine that your thoughts work on your immune system? Can you imagine then when it starts, people say, I'm going to get it, sure as the world. It's going around, oh goodness, how you doing? I'm trying to catch the flu. You'll catch it. No doubt, you will. Why? Because those thoughts are actually weakening. Lord, children, I wonder then how it is about the word. If Satan can try to weaken our spiritual immune system, but God don't love us and God don't care for us and you'll never make it, we need to stand up and let our immune system be strong in the word. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than able to do it. Why? Because my thoughts are strengthening my spiritual immunity. I don't have to backslide. I'm not going to backslide. I'm making no plans on backsliding. I'm going to strengthen my spiritual immune system. Glory. What's this? Dr. Joseph M. Carver, PhD, in the article Emotional Memory Management, Positive Control Over Your Memory. Writes, thoughts change brain chemistry. That sounds so simple, but that's the way it is. With our thoughts changing neurotransmitters on a daily basis. If a man walks into a room with a gun, we think threat. And the brain releases, watch this now, what happens to us? Instantly. The brain releases this chemical. We become tense, alert, develop sweaty palms. Our heart beats faster. If he then bites the barrel of the gun, telling us the gun is actually chocolate, the brain rapidly changes its opinion, and in my position, I'd want the rest of it. I'd want the other end. He hadn't had in his mouth. I can do that chewing gum thing as long as I get to chew it first. So any of you that want my chewing gum, you're more than welcome to it. Just don't ask me if I want yours. Now, how is it that a man could walk in this place tonight, or out in the fellowship hall, or out in the parking lot after church and pull out a gun? Oh, my! And then all of a sudden reach up. Oh, we laugh. And instantly, your brain that had been sending this tense alert inside of you, your brain that soon sends another signal, and you laugh and say, man, you got me on that, boy, Brother West. Boy, that was a good one. Boy, you're fixing to knock his head off. You're fixing to run. You're fixing to protect yourself. And that soon, a thought, Lord of mercy, a thought sent to your brain and released another chemical inside of your body. And that soon, you'd move from tenseness to laughter. Is the rapture then a marvel to us? Is the rapture a marvel that we live in this world with all its tenseness and all of its pressure and all of its difficulty, and all of a sudden a thought change comes from heaven? Amen. And it changes us from a tense world. The brain rapidly changes its opinion, and we relax and laugh. The joke is on us. We feel what we think. Positive thinking works, as the above example suggests. What we think about a situation actually creates our mood. You know, there is a phobia in this day that preachers have, that people have of preachers. It's actually a doctor diagnosed phobia that people have of preachers. And they actually break out in all kinds of symptoms. I'm not joking now. It's a medical situation. A big percentage of the message folks apparently have it. But it's a real phobia, like a phobia of snakes and a phobia of flying and all kinds of phobias that there is. And then yet they would get in their mind to come to church. They would get so tense and so nervous, and yet it's in their mind. And their body reacts, and they are feeling what they are thinking. So they're so tense and so nervous and so tore up. No wonder Brother Ben said you get what you expect. So if you come to church, oh God, oh God, it's going to be an awful service. Oh, I just know he's going to preach on me. He probably will. You'll probably pull it right out of him, even though he didn't intend to. But yet, if you come and say, praise God, it's going to be good. If I get skimmed from up here down to there, it's going to be good. I'm going to enjoy it. God's going to bless me. Hallelujah. Or do you pass by and see my vehicle ain't there? Or when Carol don't walk out the door, you think, oh no, it's going to be a bad service. Brother Donnie ain't here. It'll be a miracle if you get anything out of it. Because you will feel what you think, and your expectation will drop down. Come on now, don't get quiet. Look, friend, I'm not trying to shame you. I'm trying to help you. I'm going to help you to let you know when we come here, it's not that we come for Brother Donnie's sake or some other man's sake. We come to be fed. We come to worship. We come to receive from God. Wow, watch this. Positive thinking. What we think about a situation actually creates our mood. Pass over for a promotion? We can either think we'll never get ahead in this job. Now notice what it does. Lowering serotonin, making us depressed. So if you come up for a promotion in your job and they say, well, buddy, I'll tell you what, we're not going to give that to you. Then you become depressed. And your body will react by the lowering of this serotonin. And it'll make you feel even worse than whenever the boss told you you weren't going to get the new job and the pay raise. And your own body reacted according to your thoughts. But now notice what you can do. Look at this. Lowering serotonin and making us depressed, or assume that we're being held back for another promotion or a job transfer, which makes a better mood.
Now that nothing to do with the boss, had nothing to do with your job, had nothing to do with the people you're working with, but every bit of that had to do with you. The way you look at that situation, well, apparently it wasn't the will of God. I'll go right on anyhow. It'll be a greater miracle. Praise God when He works it out. Or you can sit around a big old long face and I don't know, I'll never get nothing. My. What's this, Dr. Caroline Leaf, a brain researcher from South Africa, with over 25 years in this field, says 87 to 95% of the illnesses that plague us today are a direct result of our thought life. Now I ask you, is it important what we think? And how many of those people who have those things blame God? Here I am, a Christian. How come I'm going through this? How come God? How come you let me go through this? It ain't God's fault. It's our fault. You understand, church? You imagine if she would have said 8 to 9%. Oh, what difference does that make? My goodness. But 87 to 95%. A direct result of your thought life. What we think affects us physically and emotionally. It's an epidemic of toxic emotions. Listen to this. The average person has over 30,000 thoughts a day. Through an uncontrolled thought life, we create conditions for illness. And you know, I've been thinking all these years the devil was working overtime and he ain't already done nothing. I've been doing most of it. That sorry rascal probably ain't had a fool with me but about 12 or 14 minutes of my entire Christian life. Most of the rest of it I've done myself. I've thought myself sick. I've thought myself down. I've thought myself weary. I've thought myself. But thank God I'm learning how to think. I'm thinking myself happy. I'm thinking myself free. And they're going to keep on building until I thank myself God. Glory to God. Not only freedom, not only peace, but I want out of here. Glory. What's this? Uncontrolled thought life. We create the conditions for illness. We make ourselves sick. Y'all excuse me, I'm fixing to whoop myself right now. Bend over my knee, Donnie Reagan. Think of that. Research shows that fear, all on its own, triggers more than 1,400 known physical and chemical responses and activates more than 30 different hormones. Lord have mercy, we're a hormonal mess, ain't we? We're worse than women in menopause. Come on now. Can you imagine having 14 different reactions, 1,400? And 30 different hormonal responses just from one thing, fear? It's a one of them more killing goes on what they are, ain't they? I'm talking about in church. I ain't talking about them poor people out there. Notice this, fear on its own triggers more than 1,400 known physical and chemical responses and activates more than 30 different hormones. There are intellectual and medical reasons to forgive. Notice this ain't Brother Branham saying this. This ain't Brother Donnie. It's a doctor. Doctors are even learning to hold grudges can cause heart attacks. Not to forgive causes all kinds of things in your body. I really like the way this says here. Toxic waste generated by toxic thoughts causes the illness, the following illnesses: diabetes, cancer, asthma, skin problems, and allergies, to name just a few. Toxic waste generated by toxic thoughts. Now we're not talking about atomic stuff. We're not talking about chemicals. But toxic thoughts. Your thoughts, my thoughts have become so toxic in our body that it poisons us.
Praise be to God. Wake up, devil, I ain't done. Don't you pass out on me. Hey, pay attention here. If I was him, I'd be scared to death by right now, wouldn't you? Oh, I'd be madder than a hornet. Here, all this time, we've been blaming all this stuff on him or on God. And it ain't been him or God. It's been our old fat hide. It's been our old toxic thoughts and our old toxic thinking. And then he warps it around and gets us to blame God. Here I am, a Christian. I'm living for the Lord. I'm doing this. God, how come? Your toxicity is speaking out of you right now. How come this? How come that? How come toxic? We got all kinds of folks, friends, that are sitting on message pews. They listen to Brother Branham every week. And they are a toxic dump. They're more dangerous than Chernobyl. They're more dangerous than Oak Ridge if it blowed up. They're more dangerous than any atomic site ever was. What's this? How powerful it is. Consciously control your thought life and start to detox your brain. Any of y'all ever detox your kidneys or your bladder or any of that stuff? Y'all ever heard of sort of that sort of thing? You know, where you take all kinds of oils and rub your belly and stand on your head and rub one ear and pinch your nose and, you know, some of the far out things that they got. Detox this and detox that. How long has it been since you detoxed your brain? Oh, I want to get the toxins out of my body. I'm going to do this and I'm going to go on this fast and I'm going to juice and I'm going to do this and that and the other. And the most toxic part of every one of us is right there. I'm ready to detox. Glory to God. Well, just to be quite frank and honest with you, I've been on a detox program now for several weeks. Y'all know what I'm talking about? This word has been detoxing my brain. It's been detoxing my confession. It's been detoxing who I think I am. Amen. To put in some positive thoughts. Praise the Lord. Can we look at some more affirmations now? I love this one. I am his friend. St. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends. If you do whatsoever, I command you. Now look at this word, friends. It's filial, which is of course where we get the word, Greek word love. To be friendly to one, an associate. He who associates familiarly with one, a companion. Now, does everybody have this relationship with Jesus? No, they do not. Simply because they will not allow him to be that way to them. Now notice this is spoken in conference with the disciples themselves. Were all of the followers of Jesus in that day, were they classified friends? They were not. Because they were not in this familiar, intimate type of place that he said to them. But now remember, this is on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, coming from there. So here he speaks to them and he tells them, you are my friends. And a man lays down his life for his friends, which I'm fixing to do for you. You are my friends if you do what I tell you to do. Now I know folks get all bent out of shape because we preach there's a difference in a church and a bride. And we do. We believe the Bible supports that. But you see, it's not us that make ourselves bride. It's not even because we believe God sent a prophet that makes us that. It
It was chosen by God himself to make us his bride. It was Jesus who chose the apostles. It was not them who said, I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. That's not the way it works. It's him calling you friend. And then when he calls you friend, that gives you the right to call him friend back. Glory to God, you can be saved and he can say you're saved, but that don't mean that you're an intimate friend, because a friend you can tell your deepest secrets to. You can tell your hurts and your anxieties, and you place that confidence in that you're my friend. Don't tell nobody, just pray for me. Everybody understands what I'm saying? And your Jesus was sharing those intimate things with who? Everybody? Everybody that said they loved him? Oh no, friends. I am a friend to Jesus. Don't misunderstand me. If you do, it's just your tough luck. But there's times that Jesus needs a friend, a preacher friend, in this message that he can talk to, that he can tell him things. I'm his friend. What about you? Does Jesus talk to you and deal with you by his word? Oh, he may not deal with you as he does with a preacher. But yet he speaks to your heart and deals with you in that loving, gentle way, to where you have an intimate inside something. And you just know, you saw Jesus, that was you speaking to me tonight in that service. Sure, it was him. It was him coming right down, and he so got that word and got that servant, that gift in his life, in such harmony with him. It's as if though you were the only one in the service. What was it? Your friend was speaking to you. And let me tell you something, if he does that in that intimate way, I think you ought to confess it back. He has let me know by the way he deals with me that he considers me a friend, that if he considers me one, I'm sure going to consider him one. I am his friend. I'm not just a saved man. I'm not just a sanctified man. I am a friend of God. Being God's buddies, there's very, very, very few people in this world I ever open up to about anything. Even when I send emails to people, I send those emails knowing that they may be read by whoever. So that limits what you can say pretty much to anybody. Because they may share it with this one and share it with that one and share it with that one. They'll twist it and whatever more. And there's people you can talk to, but there's very few people, very, very few people that I could actually spill over my soul and talk to them. Come on. Many are exactly the same way, because you've been hurt, you've been let down, you've been disappointed or whatever more. But have I got a friend? I can go to him, Brother Jack, no matter how low I am, how down I am. He don't think the less of me. If I come to some of you and said, pray for me, I'm so down, I'm so sick, I'm so weary, some of you would never think the same of me again. You say, Brother Donnie gets down, Brother Donnie wants to quit preaching, Brother Donnie don't like being this and that and the other. Oh my, he's my pastor, so you see, I could never come to you. But I can go to Jesus when I'm weary and say, Lord, I need your help. And Jesus don't sit there and say, well, Donnie, I'm really surprised at you, that you get down. You of all people, I'm really disappointed. Oh no, he don't get disappointed. He'll listen to my belly aches. He'll listen all night when I'm crying and complaining and groaning. And when I get done, praise God, I can get up and look at him. Him look back at me and say, I love you, Lord. And he can say, I love you too. Oh, I don't feel the less about you. I love you just as much as I did before you told me your weakness. A friend, a friend. Notice this in verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. Friends, many of these people out here are in that servant category. They don't know what God's doing in this hour. That's why they look at the message and it seems so peculiar and they want to make a cult out of us and all that sort of thing. They just don't understand what God is doing. Remember, it's not me that makes this differentiation in the body. It's not Brother Brown. This is Jesus speaking. He didn't tell this to everybody, but to his closest friends. Now watch, he raises them or elevates them and said, from henceforth, you are not servants. You are my friends. Are you a friend of Jesus? If Jesus needs somebody to talk to, could he come talk to you? Could he trust you? If Jesus wanted to do something real special for you in a supernatural way, would you want to tell everybody so it would glorify your flesh? Or would you hold it deep in your heart and never share it with nobody, even your wife or your husband, because it felt so sacred? Do you understand? Some experiences with God are so sacred, they are too sacred to repeat. They are too sacred to share. They are not meant to be shared. Well, praise the Lord. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Can't you see why I don't tell everybody what was in the back part of his mind before the world began? Can't you see why I don't tell them secrets? Brother Ram said he's not whispering those secrets to flirters, only his wife. He don't whisper it to the World Council of Churches. He's not going to whisper it to the Pope. Oh, he may be the greatest religious man in the world as far as the world is concerned, but that's not the way God views it. God don't whisper the secret to great religious men. He whispers it to those whom he has chosen. And this is the way you identify your friendship with God, is that he can tell you things that he doesn't tell everybody else, because he needs to share it.
Oh, glory to God.
He needs to share it, and he needs somebody to share it with.
I am his branch. From again, St. John 15:5. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now I wonder which person this is doing the asking. This man right here has asked for a lot of things from God, and they never happened. Apparently is the wrong person doing the asking. Or the two of Matthew 18 had agreed together in one. If any two of you will agree, it's touching any one thing. Don't sit there and look at me goo-goo eyes. You've asked many things too, you didn't get them. This word don't lie. Notice this now in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now as great, as wonderful, as magnanimous as he is in his character and his makeup, he cannot bear fruit. Totally impossible for the Lord Jesus to bear fruit. So I am his branch, and I must bear his fruit. Watch this. Brother Ben says in St. John 15, he said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Do you know that the vine can't bear fruit? Although the fruit is in the vine, but the fruit cannot be brought forth from a vine. It has to have the branch.
Can you see? You, as the body, we must bear fruit. If any fruit is born, don't let this stagger you. He needs me. He needs you. He is not complete without us. Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, now wait a minute. No, you wait a minute. He's the one who designed it this way. We cannot do anything without him. We know that, but this is the way he designed it. He could have been both vine and branch, but he wanted to be vine only and let you be the branch. I bear his fruit. I must bear his fruit. I must bring him glory. Glory to God. It has to have the branch to bear the fruit, and you are the branches. Now the vine, with all of its energy, cannot produce anything unless the branch is willing to receive the energy. So here's all this great energy of divine healing and divine love and revelation and power. And it comes up to us through the preaching of the word, listen to tapes and reading our Bible. And then in our mind, through negative thoughts, we hold back, but you can't do that. You can't do that. And your toxic dump of your thinking will not allow that energy to flow through you. Well, you've always been a failure. You'll be a failure in this. You better not testify that you're healed. It'll backfire on you. You'll be made a fool out of. And all that energy just comes right up to you as a branch. And right there, it stops. Lord Jesus. Watch this again in healing of Jairus' daughter. He said, now Jesus said in one place, I'm the vine and you're the branches. The vine can't bear fruit. The branches in the vine bears fruit. God cannot. Bear fruit of himself. Lord have mercy. Now we said a lot of times there's only one thing that God can't do, and God can't lie, but there's more things that God can't do. God cannot bear fruit. Boy, you folks are quiet. Don't you see how he did it this way? Well, you say, Brother Don, this is awful shaky. No, it ain't. It shows how confident he is. Do you think he would base this upon Jim Babb's constancy? He would base this upon Gene Lehman's constancy and faithfulness and base it upon Amos Cutts or Donnie Reagan? He can't base it upon flesh. He must base it upon the constancy of a divine attribute in a man or woman's heart that will drive them and push them despite their mistakes and despite their failures or something inside of them. I must bear fruit. I must bear fruit. I am his branch. I will do it. I must do it. I have no choice. I must do it. Lord Jesus, God cannot bear fruit of himself. It's got to take the church. Is that right? He's got to take you branches to bear fruit. And when you branches are yielded to the vine, then fruit comes forth. You see what I mean? God wants your hands. He wants your eyes. He wants your tongue, wants your lips, wants your ears, wants your hands and feet so he can bring full fruit through you. And Satan wants the same thing. Satan wants your tongue to cause trouble in the church. Satan wants your tongue to spread gossip. Satan wants your tongue to spread, I don't like this and I don't like that and I don't, and God wants it too. You know who's gonna do, you know who's gonna use it? Depend on which one you yield to. God help us. God help us. The branches bear fruit, not the vine, the branch. The vine only puts the energy into it. The gospel can be preached by Christ if you'll open up yourself and be a branch that'll bear forth fruit. Lord, children, do you believe Jesus Christ is still preaching the gospel? But he don't want to just do it from the pulpit. He wants to bring forth fruit from the life of every individual that's born again in this message. My, others can see Christ in you by your testimony, by your life, and the way you live. He is the energy, but you're the show picture. You're the walking Bible. Praise God. You're the walking Bible. Let me read one or two more, can I? I'm his friend. I'm his branch. I must bring forth his fruit. I am in Christ. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 12:5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Then how can you say you're not important? If you believe God sent you here to Happy Valley, why do you wrestle and battle? Is this where I belong? You need to get that toxic dump out of your thoughts. Face the fact, did God send you here or not? Brother Harlan, did God send you here? Brother Amos, did God send you here? Brother West, did God send you here? What about the rest of you? Did God send you here? Well, you need to clean out that dump. Said, oh, you don't belong here. I don't belong here. Say, Satan, you are a liar. You are poisoning the way I hear the word. You're poisoning the way I hear the preaching. I'm going to take my old thoughts and I'm going to dump them back on you and let them dump this old toxic stuff. Pardon me. Brother Donnie. Did God send you to Happy Valley? He did. He spoke to me 20 some years ago and I told him I didn't want to come here. But he told me to come. And I'm staying until he tells me to leave. Or y'all throw me out or die or whatever. Can you imagine what kind of shape I'd be in if I constantly week in and week out thought, am I supposed to be the pastor here? Well, I better preach Easter because I don't know. They may vote me out. I may lose my job. Man, I'm 56 years old. I'd hate to go to work at McDonald's. Oh, my. I just don't look like a hearty guy. I look like one of them Arby guys you come up to. Can I take your order, please? Oh, I better not preach hard. Oh, my goodness. I'm not sure if I belong here, but it's pretty evident. I think that you know. I have the revelation in my heart. This is where I belong. This is where I belong. Look, it's not just good enough for me. Each one of you need to have the same thing. And that way when them toxic thoughts come out, say, you get out of my mind right now. I belong here. God sent me here. I am a member of this assembly. I am a member of the mystical body. And you're not running me off, devil. Second Corinthians 1:21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Galatians 3:26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6, has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And since I am in him, I have so merged into him, he and I are one spirit. First Corinthians 6:17. But he that is joined. Here Paul is speaking about a man that goes out to a harlot. And he said he's joined her. He's one flesh. And then he comes and brings a spiritual parallel to the bride. And he said, he that is joined. Glued. Glory to God. Joined unto the Lord. Is one spirit. I do not have one spirit and Jesus another. We are of the same spirit. Now, I used to wasn't and you used to wasn't, but I am now. I am one spirit. I'm not just the house he lives in that he, another person comes and borrows this old rundown house. He and I are one spirit. I came out of him at the cross. I was in him in his mind before the world began. When I received his life in this day, I am one spirit. I am joined to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. When Satan tries to tell you, you are not of God, you just let him know right off he is a liar. You are joined to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit we're all baptized into one body. Whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one spirit. Let me close with this. I am complete in him. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. Not in yourself, but ye are complete. Look at this word. Plero, to make full, to fill up, to cause, to abound, to furnish or supply liberally, to fill to the top, so that nothing shall be wanting to full measure. Fill to the brim, to make, oh, fill a spell coming on, hallelujah, to make, notice this, to make complete in every particular, to render perfect. A very simple thought following. A complete Christ makes a complete people. Oh, glory to God. You love him. We'll look at it, Lord willing, again in the morning. But let me just read you a couple of things I found just so wonderful. Brother Bram said, when you believe you've been born again, talking about being a Christian, you say, yes, I am. Then you believe you're a Christian. You can't show nothing that you are, but you believe that you are. You believe that you are. And then when you confess that you are, and when you confess him, and he confesses you, he's the high priest working on what? Not on your crying, not on your repenting, not on your faith, but on your confession. No matter how much faith you got, it'll never do you any good till you put works with it. So he don't work on our emotion. He don't work on our, oh glory to God, I got so much faith. But he works on our confession. So he waits for us to confess what he's already done and what he said. Then when we do that, he acts upon our confession. Lord have mercy. Notice the next paragraph down, paragraph 24. He can only do as you say. Because he's the high priest of what you confess. Lord Jesus. And he's there before the presence of the majesty to make good anything that his redemptive blessing calls for, his sacrifice. That's what he paid for, standing there to make good to you anything that you say. Lord, children. To make good anything that you say. I love this example. Brother Bam said, when I was so sick, I couldn't get a mouthful of food on my stomach. And the best doctors in the nation that examined me. If you don't mind, I may read this again in the morning for those that wouldn't hear tonight because they're just so good. The best doctors in the nation examined me and said it's impossible for him to get well. I read God's word and I asked God to help me. So you read God's word, then you ask God to help you, then you get beans, cornbread, and onions. Well, that's what he did anyway. I read God's word and I asked God to help me. And I ate cornbread, beans, and onions. And I took a big mouthful and my mother got scared and called the doctor. I swallowed them and when I swallowed, they'd come right back up. I held my hand over my mouth. Oh no, can't do that. So here it's going down and it's coming back up, and he's speaking to what's coming back up. Said, oh no, can't do that. Oh, now the Lord is doing that holy hand from his heart, I guess. And I swallowed it back, and it came back. And I got, oh my, I swallowed it again, just kept on, it stayed down. I got me another mouthful. And kept on like that day after day, walking down the street. I'd have to hold my hand against my stomach. It was hurting so bad. Praising God for my healing. Now, it wasn't a nut. He didn't say, I ain't got no pain. Well, I'm perfectly well. Why everything? I ain't got no pain. But he's holding his stomach. Glory to God, I'm well. Glory to God, I'm well. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Someone said, how you feel, Mr. Branham? I'd say, just wonderful. Praise the Lord, I'm healed. You're healed? I'd say, yes, sir. Praise the Lord, I'm healed. Just like gall. Why? Somebody said, you lied, Brother Branham. No, I never. I believe that when Jesus died, he healed me. Isn't that amazing that he put his healing 2,000 years, Brother Jerry, in the past? He didn't say when he believed, Carol, that God healed him, but he said when Jesus died, he healed me. It's already done. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe when Jesus died, he healed me. And I accepted it. It had to be so. I wasn't confessing what I felt. I was confessing what I believed. I believe his word was eternally the truth, and it couldn't pass away. It was absolutely the truth. My feelings had nothing to do with it. That's right. That's the way I accept him for my salvation. I'm not saved tonight because I feel happy. That's not the reason I'm saved. I'm saved not because I shout. I'm not saved because of spoken tongues. That don't make me saved. I'm saved tonight because I met God conditions of his Bible. Praise the Lord. Our thought life. So a person, Brother Jim, can be hurting in their body, holding that painful place, holding that, which in one way is an acknowledgement, a physical acknowledgement. Oh God, oh God, Lord Jesus, help me, Father. I'm trying to receive from your word tonight. And they're saying, glory to God, I'm healed. Glory to God, by his stripes, I'm healed. Hallelujah. Pressing on that hurting place in their side at the same time. Glory to God, I'm healed. Praise the Lord, I'm healed. But you see, they're not confessing this. Their confession is, by stripes I'm healed, by stripes I've been delivered. Amen. Do they acknowledge that? Sure, they're not a nuts. No, I'm not ill. I'm not sick. I ain't got no problems. I ain't got no pain. I'm perfectly well. Thank God. Our thought life. Let's close. I want you to get on this little mental vehicle with me. I want you to climb up in the passenger side. And I'm going to drive. I'm going to take a slow tour through your conscience, your subconscious, your memory, things you think about, the desires of your heart. Now, I want you to do what I just simply want you to observe and see what you see in your thought life. You see, many of you think that you've totally transformed, and no doubt God has helped you in the last several weeks, as it has me, because you think your self-talk has been totally straightened out. Because you think negative self-talk is only talking negative about yourself. But negative self-talk is not just talking negative about yourself. It's talking negative about other people as well. Amen. I don't like them. They're sorry. They're no good. I don't like this. And you understand? You can quit talking that way about yourself and still be full of negative self-talk. Now you switch over to another gear and you switch all that toward everybody else. You still won't have no victory. Because you're still full of toxic thoughts. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like that. A person like that is toxic.
Glory. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, once again we've been privileged to sit at your table. I've been invited into this special friendship dinner. Some might hear it and would criticize. Lord, I know of various ones that have been streaming our services and simply for the aspect of just to find something to find fault in. Lord, you know the particular individual that has been streaming some on Wednesday nights and just trying to listen and been writing me all kinds of emails to show me how wrong Brother Branham was and how wrong we are for following him and all that sort of thing. So more than likely, they won't get much because their mind is so filled with toxic thoughts, poison acids that just leaches out of them. Lord Jesus, we pray as David did so long ago. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Look at my thoughts. But Lord God, in all reality, as good as that would be for you to look at them, in order for me to change, I must look at them too. I must take a tour through my first conscience, my subconscious, what I think about. The thousands of thoughts that go through my mind absolutely every day. And when certain people's names will be mentioned or certain circumstances, then what automatically comes through us and our thinking? Help us each one, Lord. You've helped us so much on these services, and I personally want you to know I am so grateful. I will never be the same again. And I thank you for it. But I think there's more yet, Lord. There's more yet. So we open our hearts, but we know your way is to not keep on piling on and piling on more and more and more if we refuse to progress on something that was preached 3 weeks ago. So in order to keep on going, we must keep on growing. So help us, Lord. I know it's coming fast and it's coming rapid, but apparently you figure we can handle it. So help us, Lord. Would you help Donnie? I'll get over in the passenger side now, Lord, and I'll let you do the driving. Take me for a tour through my memory, through my subconscious, through my automatic thoughts, Lord. Help me to see what doesn't even come from the first conscience, but from that subconscious that's buried within me. Help me, Lord God. Help me to do a detox on my brain. All this energy laying before us to produce Jesus. Lord, and many people can't produce it because they're so full of toxic things. Either toxic about themselves or toxic about everybody else. They have nothing good to say about church. Nothing good to say about what's preached. Nothing good to say about this and that. It's always negative. It's always down on this and that and the other. And then they wonder why they don't enjoy church. They're critical of the music, they're critical of who sings, critical of who preaches, critical of the temperature. They don't like the carpet color, they don't like the wall color, they don't like the color of my tie because they don't think it matched my coat. So they pick and sort and pick and sort, and time church is over and ready to go home. They've sorted and picked through the whole service, and he already got nothing. Lord Jesus, I don't want to be that way. Lord God, when I come to church, I want to be able to receive, Lord. Drive each of us through our thought life. Let us take a tour tonight in your coach of mercy. And help us to see realistically who and what we are. Granted, I pray, Lord. And we would like to be remembered tonight before the Lord. Just raise your hand to him. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, let us detox. Let us detox our brain, Lord. All the negative, all the sarcasm, all the fault finding, nitpicking. Many of us, Lord, is bred in us. We inherited it's a family strain. Some of us, Lord, we get it because the person we married or the family we married into. We used to, it wasn't that way. But we took on the nature of that family that we married into. Help us, Lord. I want to take on your nature. God, I want to think your thoughts. Whatsoever things are pure, lovely, and of a good report. Help us, Lord Jesus, I pray. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with the song. A smile? Let's sing it now. Oh, fill my way every day with your love. Bless the saints, see in the morning, know the fear of God, my way every day.